Welcome to the Young Farmers Podcast. This podcast takes an in-depth look at farming and the agriculture industry from the perspective of a young farmer. Join your hosts, Kyle Sturgis and Austin McNett, as they share insight, challenges, issues, knowledge, and a few laughs along the way. And as always, thank you to Virginia Farm Bureau's Young Farmers for sponsoring this podcast. And now, here's Kyle and Austin.
My name is Kyle Sturgis. I'm here with Austin McNett. We are doing the first ever Young Farmers podcast. We don't know a name yet. We don't have a title yet for the episodes for our podcast show here, but we're going to try to do something a little different. And so with that, I'm going to kick it over to Austin and let him kind of explain where we are and what we're doing today. So go ahead, Austin.
So if you can picture, we're sitting in our meat shack here at McNett Angus Beef. It's a retail farm store. We have a half a dozen freezers stuffed with premium Angus beef, and we have some laptops and mics set up, and we're going to give this a shot here. Yep. The whole operation here is based around beef cattle primarily. We purchase, source, and raise a lot of stocker cattle that we grow to 900 pounds, and then they go into our finishing operation where we take them from 1350 to 1500 pounds. We commercially sell load lots of fat cattle to Tyson, George's, Cargill, and then a small minute that's our crazy rooster. A small minute of those cattle get processed at a local USDA inspected processing facility, and we retail beef to the local community. My wife's name's Nikita. I have two boys, Atlee and Arlie. They are 4 and 2.5. We live in New Hope, Virginia. It's in the Shenandoah Valley. We purchased a 113-acre farm a year and a half ago, and we lease about 400 acres.
Cool deal. Cool deal. So, just to give you all a little bit of background on myself, like I said earlier, my name is Kyle Sturgis, and I am a fifth-generation farmer from the Eastern Shore of Virginia. So, our farming operation is pretty diverse, which is pretty cool to have Austin here, because I do not do anything with cattle. Don't really have a clue about cattle, but that's why we have Austin here, kind of bounce ideas off of each other, and he can talk more about cattle and goats and the livestock industry and everything. And I'm primarily a row crop guy. So we farm about 1,200 acres of corn, wheat, soybeans, do some snap beans, fresh market snap beans. And then on top of that, we also have a farm market, which we own and operate, and we grow sweet corn, tomatoes, pumpkins in the fall, you pick strawberries, and also have a hydroponic greenhouse operation where we grow lettuce. In addition to that, we also are part owners. My family's a part owner in an aquaculture business. So we raise farm-raised clams for Cherryston Aquafarm. So they're grown in the bottom in the Chesapeake Bay, the waters of the Chesapeake Bay, and then they're harvested and taken to Cherryston, where they are graded and distributed to wholesale distributors such as Wegmans and different grocery stores that way. So we have a diverse skill set here, I guess, between each of us as far as our farming background. So we'd be able to hit on all aspects of agriculture, I guess, pretty much.
I think we're all inclusive in the fact that we are not just commercial farms. We also provide produce, protein to the general public and try to retail meat right. as possible.
Right. Yeah. And so, like I said, you know, we're pretty diverse operation here and everything. So, I guess Austin, you know, for me at least, when I think of young farmers, I think of somebody between the ages of 18 and 35, and somebody who has an interest and a passion for agriculture, don't necessarily have to be a farmer. don't necessarily have to be making a living off the land as of yet, but somebody just has a passion for the agriculture industry and for rural America and a rural lifestyle that we have and be able to feed the world. What are your thoughts on that?
With agriculture being so diverse and so many industries that the agriculture blanket covers, there is a network of people out here, wonderful people that help us do our day-to-day work that never touch us a clod of dirt or never process a calf. Vaccines, you know, vets, machinery people, mechanics that keep you running, the logistical companies, the man who drops the diesel fuel in your tank so you can go out here and plant the last 100 acres of corn. You know, those people as well, you know, can be considered young farmers because their jobs are just as crucial and beneficial to us as farmers.
Right. And I think that's one of the reasons why we did this podcast is to start it, is to kind of reach, more people who may have an interest in agriculture. But necessarily, like you said, don't touch a dirt clod and, are not out plowing the ground, or planting a crop or, raising cattle. So, like I said, I think this is going to be an exciting venture. It's something new. We are brand new to podcasting, so don't hold that against us. We will learn as we go along. This is only episode one, so we'll learn as we move along. And we just encourage people to check out Farm Bureau, Virginia Farm Bureau, Young Farmers, and you know, see what we're all about. And if you have any, I guess, topics you'd like for us to discuss later on down the road that we may use as a topic for a future podcast, please send them our way and try to get in touch with us. And we have plenty ourselves that we've come up with and would like to talk about that affect us as young farmers and probably affect some other people that are listening that are not young farmers.
The biggest thing that we need to consider as a population is to educate more people about agriculture and where their food comes from. If anything, COVID has taught us multiple aspects from the general retail market to the consumer is that they did not know where their food was coming from.
Right.
And those types of topics, you know, they make or break our industries, and the people who don't know can be our biggest, can be against us the most because they don't understand what it takes to grow a bushel of apples or to produce a pound of hamburger or to produce, you know, a dozen clams. They don't understand our perspective of it. And that's kind of why I'm sitting in this seat, is to be an advocate for agriculture and to give my opinion or a more of a brash opinion of how it really is. It's not going to be sunshine and roses. My wife and I are first generation farmers, and we're in debt up to our ears, and we love every minute of it. But if people don't understand where their food comes from, the question becomes then, you know, will our children be able to farm the way we farm, or how will they farm, or what does agriculture look like in this state and in this valley for the future generations to come? I would love to look down and see fifth generation farmers still farming the same land that I put my blood and sweat into. And maybe Kyle wants to go and see his great-great-grandchildren be 10th, 15th generation farmers. I mean, that's all we want, is for our land to be passed down and for somebody to carry on the flame through agriculture. But if we don't educate the general public to know where their food comes from and how we operate, we're going to be at a big disadvantage because there's a lot more people out there than there are farmers.
Right. And what's the saying? The main population now is three generations removed from the family farm, I guess.
Yeah.
And so less than 1% of the population, I guess, is actually farming or has something to do with agriculture. So,
and less than 1% of them are under 65.
Right. Right. There's a lot of gray hairs, as they say, in the industry. And so, I think getting people involved and excited about agriculture is a key to agriculture success. But, you know, getting to your point, Austin, I think that change is coming, you know, no matter what. And, you know, it's just as far as agriculture goes, the practices that we've been doing are not the same practices we were doing 5 years ago. So as farmers and agriculturalists, we're adapting now to begin with, but making it easier for us to be able to adapt, if that makes sense.
Or the openness or willingness to adapt. Like that's right. What's it, the closed-mindedness of agriculture could possibly be the end of agriculture, because if you're not willing to look at the glass from a different angle, it could go dry on you. I mean, it's
right.
It's the opinion of, just because your daddy did it that way doesn't mean that that's the way it's going to happen today. There's a lot more laws and regulations, and there's still ways to farm if you're willing to change. And I think that is one thing that young farmers, whether you're fifth generation or first generation or 15th generation, younger farmers have a different perspective because they're growing up in the generation that they're born into, and that's the struggle that they will fight. Our kids, we won't understand what our kids grow up into because we weren't born in that generation and their battles. So I feel like you need to wrap it all into the mindset of a changing atmosphere and be able to change and flow with the market, or it could possibly leave you.
Right. And like you said, I hope that that's some of what we're going to be talking about on future podcasts too, is just being able to adapt to the change and challenges that we're facing as young farmers and what's coming down the pipe from whether our state legislature in Richmond, on a federal level in D.C., or just challenges we have in general on the farm, whether that's equipment failures or breakdowns. We're here to talk about it all. Labor issues.
Family. And time.
Yep. And I will say I didn't realize, I didn't state this at the beginning, but before I came back to the family farm, I worked for a company that sold crop inputs, seed and fertilizer chemical to farmers. And just coming back to the family farm was eye-opening and an experience because, like you said, when you brought up family, it's completely different when you work with family than if you were working for somebody else. So these are all the things that we'll be talking about in future episodes, but we hope you all stick around with us. We're hoping our format's going to be about once a month, hopefully, starting out. We'll be able to release an episode once a month, and as time goes on, maybe we can step that up to every 2 weeks or so, but we're going to see how this thing goes, and we hope you enjoy it. Stick around with us and enjoy it, and see where this ride goes. So, unless you have anything else, Austin, we'll go ahead and sign off, I guess, and call it an episode one.
Yeah, we're super excited. Kyle has put a lot of effort into the logistics of this, and you know, I'm just joyous to be able to ride along and give my 2 cents. And God gave me the gift of gab, and most like every other farmer out here, we can lean up against a tractor tire and shoot the bull for a while. And I think that's what needs to be more of, except, you know, the right people need to hear it. So that's why we're here, and hopefully we can help shine some light on topics that concern us. And if you all have anything, like Kyle said, shoot us an email or give us a call. We would be more than glad to try to get some people that know more about the problem or a way to help it, or try to just put information out there about the topics that young farmers or the general public have.
Right. We don't have an email set up as of yet, but we're going to work on that. And hopefully we'll be able to have something for the next episode, as far as an email to give to people. But yeah, we're excited about it, and we'll see where this thing goes. So with that, we appreciate everybody listening to the inaugural episode here.
Of a non-named
podcast. Yeah, non-named podcast. No-name podcast. So with that, we'll go ahead and sign off. So I appreciate everybody listening. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Young Farmers Podcast. To reach out to Kyle or Austin, email youngfarmerspodcast@gmail.com. And stay tuned for another episode next month.